This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We are with Jack Pelton. He is the interim president of the Experimental Aircraft Association. Jack, there's a lot of soul searching going on in aviation these days. There's some question about the function and role of the groups. You appear to have tried to answer some of those questions with your column in Sport Aviation for May. What is EAA all about, and where is it headed?
Well, Russ, first of all, I think the column in the May Sport Aviation was, I felt a need for our membership to understand that anytime you're going through transition, leadership transition, people take a step back and they say, "Uh-oh, what's going on? What, you know, do we have this new interim guy in there because the board or some group has said we need to relook and reconstitute EA in a different direction than what it's been in the past?" And I wanted to make sure that people understood that EAA is a group of very diverse communities, founded with a home-built community, but it also has a vintage component to it, a Warbird component, an IC component, and an overall GA component to it. And that is what comprises and makes up EAA and will continue to be what our focus is on those various diverse communities that we, at the top level of EA, knit together and have a very strong agenda in supporting all of them. And I call them all recreation. It's all about recreational flying. And we value each of those communities. We're going to continue to support and foster the social aspects of those communities, the special needs of those communities, whether it be regulatory or informational that they need. And make sure they continue to have their identities, and then we as a whole are the sum of the parts. And that's what makes EA very unique, powerful, and I think the only true association out there that truly represents all aspects of general aviation and recreational flying.
What prompted the column? What was the motive for the column? What brought it up? Was there a meeting? Was there a 3 o'clock in the morning? Jack sits up in bed and says, "Geez, I better write this." Or how did it all come about?
I wish it was. There was a great storyline behind how the column came about. But you know, the pragmatic part is every month we publish Sport Aviation, and there is a column from the EA leader in that. And when I took over as chairman of the board in October of last year, I recognized I'm going to have a responsibility to write a column every month. And I looked through, you know, what are some of the topics that I think are important? And while you look at this one independently, go back and also look at some of the other columns, because I wrote one regarding volunteers, which I think is critically important as far as a foundational element of EA. I wrote one regarding safety, which I think is another piece that's important for our members to understand our focus on safety. I wrote one on advocacy, that with all of these chapters around the world, we have an ability for our members to be grassroots advocates at the local airport level. And for this month, I thought as we head into air, I wanted to make sure that our members understood what really is the pieces of EAA, that it is a very extensive group of unique communities to EAA. And I thought from a heading into Air Venture, it was just a good time to let's recognize that, let's make sure our members know who we are, and you know, always behind any of those is you want to make sure the members are being communicated with and they're not wondering is there a significant directional shift or issue that's going on. It just leadership communication is really what it was all about, and it was kind of time to, I thought, the right time to talk about those pieces.
Okay. Well, EAA is not exactly made up of 150 or 170,000 shrinking violets. What have people been telling you in the last 5 or 6 months? What have you heard from them?
Well, what I have heard is that they want to make sure that we do, in fact, stay true to our core in supporting recreational aviation. That's their number one concern. Their number two concern is around advocacy, to make sure that they know we are a voice for them, you know, locally, at the state level, at the national level, to support their recreational flying interest. And that, you know, and that, that becomes its own wiring diagram, if you will, around, you know, warbirds needing special concerns to make sure that those types of airplanes can still fly and not be considered a threat by the government, that the home builders are still getting the technical support that they need to create and innovate the types of airplanes that, that they're working on, that the vintage groups from obsolescence and concern with type certificates going away, who's going to support them. So there's, you know, lots of pieces that come together there. And I think the other piece is they want to make sure, what I've been hearing is we have probably in the last couple years not been, I hate to say care and feeding, that almost sounds where I'm getting to in the point of my life where somebody needs to keep care of me and feed me as an old guy. But the chapter network, we, you know, this organization was created with a group of chapters that all have, you know, interesting focuses, whether a home-built chapter, whether they're a specific type chapter, whether they're a social chapter. And we probably have not been giving them the resources and support that they need to grow and to feel a part of this EA community. So we're doing a lot in that area in getting out and visiting with them. We're pushing content that allows them to have meaningful meetings with a new video magazine for chapters only. We're trying to listen and find out how we can help them grow. We're looking at ways for them to be able to use simulators, be able to operate their own airplanes, to continue with a chapter focus on Young Eagle rallies to get young people engaged in aviation. So, you know, I would say maybe the right way to characterize this is what I've heard and what we're trying to be responsive to is be more inwardly focused on our membership.
To sum up, what's your message to members? What can they do to help?
What can they do to help? I think one of the growing concerns that all of us in aviation have is with the statistics of aging pilot population, with the barriers to entry to aviation being greater than they may have been when we were kids from a accessibility and price standpoint, is really trying to have them be the ones out on the ground across the nation, creating the programs that will help bring people into aviation, help support them and mentor them along the way, and help create that experience that we all have, at least those of us who've been in it for a long time, love around the social aspects of the freedoms that aviation give you. But, you know, you can't do that with a multi-million dollar program out of some headquarters somewhere that says, here's the panacea. It's really a localized effort that's very personal and tailored at the local level to be able to be engaging and being able to bring people into aviation. That's what we're asking our members to do for all of aviation. And at the end, yes, it's very self-serving for all of us. It's going to protect the legacy of aviation.
Well, we appreciate your time today, Jack. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.